Nearly 2 years after the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, took the lives of 20 children and 6 educators, filmmaker Kim Snyder began to interview the parents, survivors, nurses, police officers, and other Newtown community members who had lived through the tragedy. What emerged was a portrait of a grieving town forever changed by gun violence. Newtown was filmed over the course of nearly 3 years and played to critical acclaim at Sundance, South by Southwest, and BAM Cinema Fest. It opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and Landmark Sunshine Cinemas. I'd like to welcome director Kim Snyder and David Wheeler.
Hi.
Please.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming. It's pretty tough to talk about. How are the people of the town doing?
Well, I feel like, David, maybe you start with that.
I think that would be a very complex answer.
Yeah.
A hard thing to put into just a few
concise
words. You know, we talk a lot, those of us who were affected by this, talk a lot about the concentric circles of the experience. And an event like this creates ripples, in water when a pebble hits the pond. And so everyone in town was affected by it. And I think you could extend that and say that everyone nationally and internationally is affected in some way or other. I feel like the town has a remarkable character. We moved there for a reason, because there's something there that isn't in other places. And it's a remarkable community that we care about very much. So we care a lot about how everyone is doing, and we care about how people are handling things. It's a very tough question to answer in a simple sentence.
Yeah.
You know, the town is doing as well as the town can be doing. It's there are many different ways to enter that question, and so I think people are doing okay.
You know, I will say, seeing the news coverage of the tragedy, I got the sense of the town being a good town, being mm-hmm. like a town of good people.
Right.
Kim, I guess my question for you would be, how did you decide to do it, and then how did you engender the trust of the people there?
Well, I landed in Newtown about 4 weeks after the tragedy, actually, by happenstance, and quite reluctantly, honestly. I don't come from news, but some folks I had worked with in the past asked me to go up and explore something short form. And I came to know Father Bob Weiss, who had buried 8 of those 20 children, and was really struck with the what he was shouldering, and felt enormous empathy for him, and started to develop a relationship with some of the those folks in town who were helping to guide people, and a vision started to come through to render a portrait of a town after the cameras had gone, and to take the time to sort of give back a voice of early on. I would hear all the time that they didn't want to be remembered just as a place of tragedy, but as a place that wanted to do something. And I think, you know, it couldn't be said better than David in the film when he says, you know, there's just this natural human desire to want to protect the rest of the world. And I felt that not only with David and two of the other families that I got to know so well that became the epicenter of the film, but I felt it in these ripple effects. So in a way, we were redefining community as family, community as victim in a journey. And in terms of, I didn't really meet David and some of the other parents until at least 8-9 months later. I was just saying to David before that I never would have cold called him. We happened to be sitting next to each other at a dinner, had a conversation. I had begun the film, and we had a number of off-camera conversations that I remember distinctly, because it's something we didn't put in the film, that really always started with why, the most simple thing, why should this story be told in a different way than it had been told in the news, obviously, which was, you know,
What did you have an idea for the shape the film would take, or you just went up there to shoot and we're going to wait and see?
I had an idea of a portrait of an entire community, and I had, through different lenses and the voices you might hear from Les, I remember that first conversation with you, David, about exploring collective grief and trauma, and I knew that you felt strongly also about changes needed to be made, but that I had told you I did not want to make an overt advocacy film, and I think you kind of just listened and waited to hear what I said and then said, well, if that's what you're interested in, that might be something I'm interested in. But I don't know for you, what was the, you know, your experience is probably more pertinent about that that early relationship building.
You had to trust her, correct?
I certainly, and I put Kim through a bit of a ringer. And, you know, I was not in any position to be overly trusting of anybody right away. Everyone was very careful, and there were other people in town making films and trying to make films, and so there is a natural cynicism that comes to the surface, as you can imagine, when something horrific happens to you and your family. And you know, this started the day or two or three days after, when producers from various daytime news shows would knock on the front door, regardless of all of the signs.
And you must
asking
have felt like
people,
this is like a movie. Like, this is what you see in a movie.
And you know, when they come to the door and tell the person that they're here because they got, this is your house? I'm sorry, we were lost. You know?
Yeah. Wow.
So that kind of thing happened on a fairly regular basis, which started, you know, sort of the cynicism ball rolling a little bit. So I did want to have many conversations with Kim about what she was thinking about and why it would be of interest to her. But I happened to be among the group of individuals, of parents of these children and spouses of these people who, you know, I am not happy with the status quo in this country. And I have reacted to mass shootings and school shootings the way so many people have. I remember just 5 months before, when the news came in the morning about the shooting in Aurora, Colorado, at the movie theater. And I thought, oh my God, those poor people. Again, those poor people. And then I looked away.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was my 20 minutes, and that was it. And the fact of the matter is that you just don't ever think this is going to touch your family and this is going to be you until one morning you wake up and it's you.
Yeah.
And then you have to figure out how you're going to get out of bed in the morning. And the way that I decided that I was going to get out of the bed in the morning is to try to make it so no other father has to go through this, to do whatever I can do to put some small momentum into movement toward a more sane and safe society for our families and our children.
I'm Neil Brennan, filling in for Lena Lopate, and I'm speaking with Kim Snyder, who directed the documentary Newtown, and also with us is David Wheeler. His story is featured in the film. David, there's footage in the film of you giving giving testimony before the Connecticut State Legislature in January 2013. So did you become sort of an advocate for gun control legislation almost?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would proudly call myself an advocate for sensible policy in all kinds of areas, but I was very aware right away, because immediately the two predictable camps started saying predictable things around the firearms issue. And you have to understand that what happened in our town is a constellation of things. And I one of the images that came to me and that I told Kim about when we were doing the interviews is that I see this as a line of dominoes, what happened to us. And each one of those dominoes had to be placed in a very specific way and at a very specific time in order for them to fall the way they did that morning. But when I look at that line of dominoes, and some were put in place 2 days before and some were put in place 20 years before, but when I look at that line of dominoes, all I see are the spaces where somebody along the way could have put their hand in and stopped this. Yeah. And there were places all along the way where someone could have had a conversation or done something or made a contact somewhere that could have changed things.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. You said that, and you have so many amazing things to say in the movie. And watching it, you know, it's hard not to feel like, well, was I one of the spaces as just a person? What can I do?
Well, I would argue that yeah, to some degree, we are all responsible for some small piece of this. You know, we are a society that has allowed this to happen in terms of the number of firearms in our country, just the number alone. And mm-hmm. look, it's business. They're making widgets, okay? They just happen to be the most lethal widgets ever conceived by our species. So, but again, I want to remind people that that's just a piece of this. You know, there are so many other parts of this problem that went unaddressed and weren't focused on when they could have been, and that could have stopped this from happening and stopped other things from happening. So it's difficult to sort of put it all together. But I don't consider myself an advocate in that specific way. I don't. I just think you need to be sensible, and we as a society need to take care of each other a little bit better.
Yeah, you're incredibly eloquent throughout the film. Kim, did you... There seems to be, from a filmmaking perspective, you focus on a lot of just passage of time and passage, seasons changing and people dealing with it. How did you... Was that another one of those things that just kind of formed as you kept filming? It's about sort of almost like the stages of grief in a weird way.
Yes and no, because there's, you know, the hallmark I observed in trauma was that there's nothing linear about it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to be true to that in the form. And I had a brilliant editor, Gabriel Rhodes, and a fantastic creative producer who worked with me, Maria Cuomo Cole. And we spent a year in the edit room really thinking hard about this structure and how to honor that passage of trauma and not put this in some pat box and in words like closure. And mm-hmm. So it was really, how do we talk about that day? Because the honesty is that there is this cyclical return to what happened, and there are triggers that take everybody back there. I was interested in the essence of survivor guilt and how this community would navigate to repair its social fabric and start to, you know, what I observed was that David and some of the other families I got to know were sort of in this protected bubble in a certain way and only had so much capacity to think about what other people were dealing with. Mm-hmm. But over time, I think, you know, in terms of community, different aspects of the community, the teachers, the first responders, the clergy started to become like, oh, I hear you. And I know that was, for me, one of the things I wanted to do was show that grace that I observed when David in the movie states that we all did everything right.
Yeah.
Everybody who put their kid on the bus that day did everything right. And the people who did and got their kids back, that line always astounds me because I know that first year it was so very difficult to see those parents, and so that's a lot of in the film too.
And it was difficult for them to see us, and some of that continues. I have a tremendous amount of care and respect and deep feeling for these families whose children were there and survived. It's not easy. It's really, really hard. And in some cases, their journey is... It sounds crazy for me to say this to you, but sometimes I think their journey is harder than mine because...
The first responders.
Well, or the primarily I'm talking about the families whose children survived the attack.
Oh, okay.
And because you know, that stuff is deeper under the surface.
Yeah.
And the resources may not be more readily available. And it might be harder for them to sort of get those things together. And I feel very deeply for them. I really do. It's just impossible.
Yeah. The film is really extraordinary. And like I said, you spoke with so eloquently. Is there... You found the stages of grief to be sort of they're non-sequential? And...
Right. One of the first things we learned after this happened is that we often think about the Kubler-Ross stages of grief. That's sort of the model that everyone points to. And it's sort of a bit archaic at this point. And we learned, as I said, very, very early on that linear progression of stages of grief is... For people in a terminal illness situation, we bounce around back and forth two steps forward, three steps back. There's no, it's like a pinball. It's more like a pinball machine.
Yeah, amazing. Newtown opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and Landmark Sunshine Cinemas. Tonight after 7:45, Landmark screening. Governor Andrew Cuomo will speak. Kim Snyder will be doing a Q&A. Thank you both very much.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you, Neil.